You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
What can you do in 3 minutes? Usually not all that much, but Buzz Bissinger tells us that entire lives can be shaped by 3 minutes. Although his twin boys, Jerry and Zach, were born just 3 minutes apart, due to a lack of oxygen, the younger son, Zach, suffered brain damage. Buzz Bissinger's memoir, Father's Day, A Journey into the Mind and Heart of My Extraordinary Son, explores his efforts to connect with, but also run away from, his impaired but also very talented son in almost painful detail. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I'm very pleased that it brings Buzz Bissinger back to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
What happened to Zach when he was born?
Zach weighed 1 pound and 11 ounces. The twins were 13 and a half weeks premature. This was in 1983, where most male twins that size died. Mm-hmm. It was a miracle they lived, but because of oxygen deprivation, Zach did not get enough oxygen to his brain and suffered trace brain damage, where Jerry, by some miracle, had no side effects.
What does trace brain damage mean?
You know, Zach, his vocabulary is actually quite good. His vocabulary level is probably at an, I don't like IQs, at a 90. His performance level is at a 50. And what really happened is he is very, very right hemisphere oriented. It's almost all concrete thought. He really cannot speak in think in abstract terms at all.
And to some degree, he's a savant. So, which is similar to some people who are autistic.
Yes, it is.
Are there any similarities? Because autism is not caused by lack of oxygen.
There are similarities in that savantism often occurs in babies with autism and babies who are severely premature. Savantism is one of the great mysteries, you know, of the brain. But Zach is a savant. His biggest problem is mental comprehension. It's about an 8 to 10 year old level. But you know, if you gave him a date within the past 20 years, he could tell you the day. If he asked for your birthday, he would remember once. He remembered for the rest of his life. His recall of events is phenomenal. You know, date, time, place, who was there. It's not he's just reliving it. It's almost as if he is there again.
How long after the twins were born did you write Friday Night Lights? And how were you able to find the time?
I wrote Friday Night Lights, I guess the twins were born, I have to think. The twins were born in 1983. I moved to Odessa in 1985. Frankly, I was with a woman who was phenomenal, who became my second wife and did a phenomenal job of really, frankly, raising the twins.
Did the stress of having these twins, which could be stressful in itself, but then Zach's special situation, do you think that's one of the reasons your marriage broke up?
It certainly is the reason, I think, certainly one of the primary reasons my first marriage broke up to the boy's mother. We were in a situation where we really did not know initially if either twin was going to make it, because the doctors were, you know, flying blind. The technology was not nearly as advanced.
Zach was very premature.
Yes, for that period. Yes, it is. And, you know, Zach was in the hospital for 7.5 months. Jerry was pretty much out of the woods in 2.5 months. We didn't know, you know, how Zach was going to be. You go into the intensive care unit, everything's fine, he's breathing normally, then it drops, then the alarm goes off. I mean, every day was sort of terrifying, and we couldn't sustain it. And I have to be honest, I live inside my head, I can be narcissistic, and I think I still thought about my career, I still thought about who was doing what when, and I really think my wife basically said to herself, I can't take care of you anymore. I can't constantly reassure you. You know, we have two very, very sick boys, and I know that that also contributed to it.
Are they identical twins?
No, they're fraternal and really the basis of fertility drugs.
So when they got to a point where they started talking, did they develop a good relationship?
Not really. I mean, it was always more older brother, younger brother, and Jerry was...
Just 3 minutes determines that?
Yeah, because...
Well, of course, one had a lot more ability, mental...
Right. And Jerry, you know, I mean, Jerry had friends. Jerry's communication skills when they were young were much, much better. So Jerry would have a friend over. Zach's only way if you wanted attention would be to disrupt, you know, turn off the TV set and things like that. And Jerry would get angry. And I think Jerry felt embarrassed.
Well, there's also the resentment often of the sibling that the one who has the problems gets so much more attention. But I suspect that Jerry also felt a bit guilty because he was the one who came out of it in good shape.
You know, when he felt the guilt, I don't know. But there's, to me, they're very poignant moments in Father's Day where Jerry talks about that, where he does feel guilty, where he asks, you know, you brought it up at the beginning, why me? Why did I get that those extra 3 minutes? Those 3 minutes were completely arbitrary, and why did I get them, and why did my brother did not?
So, okay, so you and your wife split, and they stayed with her. How much did you see the boys over the years?
Well, actually, they stayed – she – when the boys were about two, she actually moved to California, and the boys were with me during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of them, really up until the age of 13, when I just couldn't get through to Zach anymore. I mean, I loved him dearly, and I tried to engage him. I could not. He doesn't like visual things, like television, like sports, the things that, you know, you kind of riff with Jerry. And, you know, when he would just sit on the side of a couch and just stare. And I didn't know what to do. It wasn't a matter of not trying. I didn't know what to do, and I felt guilty, and I felt frustrated. And the boy's mother moved to a suburb which had, you know, many more situations for him to walk, and I was in Philadelphia where he was pretty reined in. So I let him go, and I have to be honest, I felt relief.
You write about lying to Zach at a party once about having to leave.
I do.
The
kids, they were sweet. They loved each other, but I felt such sadness among the parents, including me, trying to be upbeat, knowing and worrying about our kids and what's going to become of them, and kind of just the limits of their lives. Although yes, they are special, and I couldn't take it. I lied. I made up an excuse for why I had to leave.
But you did have these connections. You describe your frustration with playing a game called Cuddies for 15 straight years.
Yeah, and I think the hardest thing for me was exactly that. Jerry was on a trajectory up. We all live through our kids. We all have aspirations. Jerry was doing great. He was getting, you know, got his master's in education at Penn, became a full-time teacher. For 15 years, Zach and I played this kind of heavy tickling game called Cuddies, and finally, at the age of 21, I said, Zach, I can't do it anymore. I can't, because he would have done it until he was 30.
Well, he probably needed the stimulation.
He needed the stimulation, and unfortunately, it was sort of the only way we kind of connected. But I said, I can't do the same thing for 15 years. I just can't. We have to figure out something else.
Did you have anybody you could confide in? Are there other people who are in similar situations?
There are people in other similar situations. I didn't do a lot of that. I mean, I remained very close to the boy's mother, and you know, we talked, and we talked about a lot of things. But no, I mean, it wasn't that I really confided in many other people.
My guest is Buzz Bissinger. Many people know him for his popular book, Friday Night Lights, the TV series that was based on it. But he's here with us to talk about something much more personal, his memoir, Father's Day, A Journey into the Mind and Heart of My Extraordinary Son. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You sometimes go to Brooks Brothers shops with Zach. Why Brooks Brothers? Why not Ralph Lauren or Banana Republic or one of a million other stores?
You know, children like Zach, they sort of seize on something and then it just stays with them. And I don't know really what the reason was, but he liked Brooks Brothers, so I would always give him the same gift certificate. And, you know, we went one day, and he likes the clothing. But I also knew in the back of my mind it was kind of the fantasy that I was dressing him up. And I know people feel this is abhorrent, but I can't lie, and I'm not going to lie. You know, the fantasy that he was going to be – he's a hedge fund trader or he's a lawyer, and he wasn't, and some of the clothes were ill-fitting. But then out of nowhere, he said, I want to get an ascot like my uncle wears. And I never knew he paid attention to any of those things. And that's when I sort of began to get the kernel of an idea when he was in his mid-20s to take this cross-country trip that's the glue of the book.
Well, because you're trying to find ways to connect to this kid. He's 24
right.
years old,
right.
And you decide to take a trip. You had traveled with him before to Yosemite, which he didn't enjoy all right. that much. It is a problem when the other person doesn't enjoy beautiful scenery.
No, I mean, it made no impression upon him at all. So, plus the fact that I don't know how crazy he is about the car, but I wanted to construct a route. I wanted to share with him something that had been important to me. I got the idea for Friday Night Lights driving cross country. I fell in love with my present wife. I wanted to share that with him, a common special experience. So I devised a route where we went back to the places where we lived because he loves that. It's concrete. He remembers everything. He remembers the people. It's almost like he's back in the present again.
And a friend advised you not to set your expectations so high
right.
to just let the trip flow.
Yeah, which is I'm not a go with the flow kind of guy, and that was hard for me. And the beginning of the trip was stressful, and there were real bumps, you know, and bruises. I was stressed. I can be volatile and temperamental, and you know sometimes would get very, very wound up. And the fascinating thing was Zach was totally steady in the storm and really showed empathy and helped me out.
Before the trip, had you ever had a conversation with Zach about his impairment?
No, I didn't know. I couldn't do it. I mean, I just, at that point, I would visualize, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? Sit him down at the end of a couch and say, well, Zach, you're brain damaged. I didn't know how much he would know, but I felt that this trip would be, I felt the time had come to let him know what his deficits were. And I also wanted to see, because I think it's important for his life, how self-aware was he of his condition.
Well, even if he has the awareness of an 8-year-old, he knows he's not the same as
That's
other
right.
people his age.
That's right. And he's constantly comparing himself to his twin brother.
Mm-hmm. So what did he say to you? That he knew that he had some kind of an impairment?
We were at a rest stop on the Indiana toll road, because I'll never forget it. It was the second day of the trip, and it was kind of quiet, and I paused, and I wondered, is this the time? And I said, Zach, do you know what brain damage is? And he said, well, I'm not sure. And I said, well, what do you think it is? And he says, well, you know, when something's wrong with your brain, and something is not right with my brain, and, you know, I want to see if he was just parroting, and I said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, exactly what you said. There are things Jerry can do, like go to school, have a girlfriend, that I can't do. So there was that awareness, which gratified me, because then he can have some, you know, participation in his life. But to hear your child say, you know, something's wrong with your brain, I mean, that was crushing. I mean, those words will ring in my ears forever, but I don't regret doing it.
You still had some problems. Tension would build up.
Yes.
What caused the tension?
I think the tension was sort of what I talked about earlier, the sense of being stuck, the sense of, you know, he is so in the concrete. I'm so in my head. You know, I'm a writer. I am self-absorbed. I can be narcissistic just as I can be incredibly loving. And there was a moment in Milwaukee and we're just going around and we're just looking at buildings from 15, 20 years ago. And I'm tired and I'm stressed and I got angry. I'm not proud of it, but I said, Zach, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Why are we doing this? This is all we do. And I did lose it, and I'm not proud of it. And then Zach, typically, we were looking for a restaurant. I couldn't find it. I was getting very angry. And Zach, because he's a human GPS, found it.
That's another one of his abilities.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's great with direction. You write about in this book about the experience of writing Friday Night Lights and how you expose the people you wrote about so much that it affected their lives. Will the same thing happen here? Will Zach even be aware
No.
that he's a subject of this book?
Zach, you know, I asked Zach if it was okay if I wrote a book. I knew it didn't really mean anything because, you know, it's not like he has the ability to say, all right, we'll put this in. Don't put this in. I certainly asked Jerry, who understood and said yes, and I asked their mother. If their mother had said no, I wouldn't have done it. He hasn't read it. He's read little pieces of it. He likes the attention it's gotten, but it hasn't gone to his head, and he would not comprehend it anyway.
One of the difficulties in writing a book like this is if you're brutally honest, you make yourself look bad at times.
Sure.
Was that ever a problem for you? Or you just seem to be the kind of person who says quite easily, well, I'm a bit narcissistic.
I think, you know, honesty to me is honesty. Sure, there were moments where you wonder how deep to the bone I should go. But my feeling was, look, if you're going to write a book like this, if you're trying to give sort of voice to the voiceless, all parents, but parents of disabled kids who are reluctant to say how difficult it is, you have to be honest. You have to be honest in your feelings about your son, and you have to be honest in your feelings about yourself, because that informs me as a father. Most people respect it. Some don't. I can't do anything about that.
Well, I'm sure people who have similar problems reading this book, if you had fudged it, they would have said, he's lying.
And the response I've gotten back, you know, emails, people I don't, you know.
You're listening to WNYC, WNYC.org. I've been talking with Buzz Bissinger about his latest book, a memoir called Father's Day, A Journey into the Mind and Heart of My Extraordinary Son. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I want to thank you so much for being on our show.
Well, thank you.